You listen to the Jason Greger Show podcast brought to you by Lakewood Chev. The Chevrolet Cruze price reductions on right now up to $3,250. You can get leasing from only $55 bi-weekly. Dare to compare the Cruze LT versus the Civic LX or the Focus SC. Trust me, you'll pick the Cruze only at Lakewood Chev. Our next guest, something tells me it's a little sunnier. He's out of town as a Grey Cup champion, CFL MOP, and wearer of the biggest hat in the CFL last year, Mike Riley, joins us now. Mike, how you doing?
Oh, thank you for that incredible intro. And thank you for allowing me to be on with Struds. I mean, I didn't know that he was going to be part of this show. I would have set aside 2 hours if I would have known he was here.
Well, I was going to wear a special hat, but I couldn't find that Mad Hatter hat you had. And he said, they don't sell them in Canada. Where'd you pick that bad boy up?
Yeah, man, you got to search high and low for those things. Every time, you know, I don't stay in one place too long. And so every time I travel and go somewhere, first thing I do, you know, people like to yelp about their food and where they're going to go to restaurants. That's not my thing. I try to find out where I'm going to buy my next hat. So I can't just give you that information, man. You got to work for it.
Yeah. We had Ricky Ray on after he signed a year contract extension and asked him, you know, if he could pull off the hat. And he was like, well, I'm not sure I could, but I might, but I don't want to cover up my flowing locks, is what he said.
I actually saw that. I saw that quote, followed by, you know, his key to success being foam rolling, apparently. So I've been foam rolling 6 hours a day for the last month. You know, it's weird, though, because my hair is starting to fall out now. So I'm not really sure there's some correlation between being bald and foam rolling.
I don't do any, so yeah. I don't think there's a correlation. But Strutty certainly has done some, and his is falling out faster.
I got to ask him, like, I've been doing it as a headstand on the foam roller. I mean, maybe that's not how we're supposed to do it.
No, well, that's good balance, though, man. That's good balance for you.
Yeah, well, you try to be an athlete, man, at all times.
I love it. Well, Mike Riley, I'm wildly interested in the NFL Combine. To see these, I say this the nicest way possible, these freaks of ability and natural athletic, incredible stuff they can achieve. When you are leading up towards it, what kind of preparation would you and other guys take to get ready for what it can be a really big kind of sway where you go in the draft?
Yeah, that's a crazy time. I had already got my degree well before I had finished my senior year at Central Washington. So as soon as the football season ended, you know, there was still a month and a half left of school for that semester. And I moved down to Southern California and I was training at a complex that specialized in pre-combine training, things like that. You know, there's a ton of different stuff that goes into it. As quarterbacks, you know, there's not that many guys that actually do the bench press testing, so we didn't really care too much about that. But it was really more about the running stuff, working on the 40-yard dash. So they had, like, you know, a couple of Olympic sprinters that were in there trying to teach us how to work on our starts. Like, that's a huge thing. When you're running a 40-yard dash, it's all about how you start coming out of the blocks, basically. And, you know, that's not a normal thing for most football guys to deal with that. Maybe, you know, wide receivers, but outside of that, you know, other positions, we don't ever start like that. So we spent a ton of time doing that. We worked a lot on the different shuttles. They got the 5-10-5 shuttle, and then they got the L shuttle. So we did a lot of those. And then I was actually working with Eric Kramer, who used to be, you know, NFL quarterback for the Chicago Bears and a couple other teams. Me and a few of the other quarterbacks over there, we would go work with him a couple times a week on all the different throws that we were going to be asked to do, because they ask you to do a lot of weird stuff, and some of it's televised and some of it's not. You know, but they have a period where you're just thrown to a standing target, but you have to, like, backpedal out of your drop, which is, like, kind of an old school way to do it. That not many people utilize. So, you know, for some of us, it was the first time we'd ever done any of that. But it's really weird, man, because, you know, my thought is always, can you play football or not? Like, watch the film of somebody, watch them play in a game, and that'll tell you everything you need to know. I don't really know if you can tell if an offensive lineman's good based on his 40 time, you know. So some of the stuff is is kind of weird, and I'm not sure why they do it. But some of the other stuff, you know, correlates pretty heavily, I think.
Mike Riley joining us. Now, Sam Darnold has come out, and he's not going to throw at the combine. Of course, now, you know, there's lots of quarterbacks there. And what do you make of that? When you were throwing, because I know they look at guys and mechanics and throwing is a big one now. They've talked about it. I think sometimes it probably gets talked about more than it should. It's like, I don't care how he gets the ball out. As long as he's getting it out and guys aren't knocking it down and it's competing, I don't know if it matters. Now, maybe I'm wrong on that. But what do you make of the mechanics of throwing? Number one, and B, do you think it's going to hurt Darnold not throwing?
Well, I'm probably the poster child for not giving a damn about what your throwing mechanics look like when it comes down to it. So I'm the perfect guy to answer this question to have your back on that. You know, again, I don't really care, and I don't think it matters at all, like you said, you know, what it looks like when you're throwing it. Do you get the ball where it needs to be, when it needs to be there? And if you do, great. You know, I remember hearing Peyton Manning, you know, make a quote after he was getting ready to play in the Super Bowl, and, you know, one of the DBs on the other team was quoted saying, you know, he just, all he throws is ducks, you know, we're not worried about him. And Peyton's response was, yeah, you know, I do throw a ton of ducks for touchdowns. And so, you know, that's the thing, is it doesn't matter what it looks like coming out of your hand. If it gets to where it needs to be, then great. In terms of not throwing, you know, I came from a small school. I was one of the few small school guys to be invited to the combine. You know, so I was scrapping for every rep that I could get where an NFL scout would be watching me doing something. So I don't really have any sympathy for the guys that, you know, choose not to compete. You know, I like to compete. I'm a competitor. I want to go out there and compete every chance that I get. You know, I want to play every snap in the preseason game. I want to play, you know, the last regular season game, even if it doesn't have any, you know, playoff seeding, you know, implications. So when I was at the combine, there was two guys that were considered, you know, very high top picks in the first, they were going to go in the first five picks, and that was Mark Sanchez and Matthew Stafford. And Stafford chose not to throw. He was already, you know, thought by many to be the number one overall pick, and so he didn't throw. And Sanchez didn't really have to throw either, but he did. And so I always respected him for that. You know, there wasn't really much to be gained for either of those guys by going out and throwing. But you know what? If you're supposedly the best guy coming out that year as a quarterback prospect or one of the top ones, if I'm a coach or a scout or a GM, if you don't got the stones to go out there and compete against all the other guys that are coming out and perform on the big stage, then I don't want you on my team. So those are my thoughts on it. But, you know, there's also a lot of money on the line, so those guys got to make the best decision for them.
Mike Riley joins us, C quarterback, the Edmonton Eskimos. And Mike, I love the way you frame that because, like, I think I'd want to go out there and show everyone how badass I was. You know, like, I don't want to hide when the guys are throwing the ball or running or jumping. I want to show them that, yeah, you know what, I'm here and I am the best, and I just stumped on all you guys in front of everybody else.
That's right, yeah. I mean, and that's, to me, that shows more about somebody's character than anything else. You know, you got the confidence to come out there and you know, put on a show and show why you're considered to be the best, you know. And so that, to me, would show a lot more than even how you would throw during that situation. Again, I don't really care too much about some of that stuff because, you know, I can watch you on film and I can see if you can actually play at a high level versus how you're going to throw routes to a wide receiver that's not being covered by a DB and there's no defenders on the field and you're not, you know, dropping back behind an offensive line. You know, if your throws are a little off, okay, whatever, you know. But if you got the confidence to go out there and do it, that would go a lot further to me than, you know, just saying, no, I'm going to take this one off.
Mike Riley joining us. Talking, we'll get to the CFL in a sec. We're talking NFL Combine. And, you said earlier you're kind of the poster boy for, you know, not having perfect mechanics. When you were there, did they try to tell you, hey, you got to change this? And what was it about your mechanics that they criticized?
No, they don't really coach you up there. Okay. So nobody ever really said anything to me. Again, there was work prior to that that we did with, like I said, I worked with Eric Kramer. We didn't work on mechanics a ton. We did to a decent degree, but at the same time, you know, you only have like a month or two to prepare. And so if you start tweaking stuff, it could be helpful, but it could go south real fast. And, you know, you don't want to look back and go, wow, I tried to change all this stuff in 3 weeks, you know, before the combine, and I just totally screwed myself on that. You know, so we didn't really adjust a whole lot. But when you're at the combine, I mean, you know, there was, I don't remember who the guy was. He worked for the Seattle Seahawks, but he was the one that was snapping the ball to the quarterbacks during throwing drills. And he was a really cool guy. He would, like, every time he would come up, he'd just be like, hey, take a deep breath. All right, you got a five and a hitch, and you're throwing, you know, the comeback route to the left side or whatever. You know, he'd tell you what the route was, and he'd look you square in the eye and be like, hey, man, just swing it, have fun, you know. And so he was a real positive influence. But you get all sorts of different personalities when you're at the combine. I mean, you don't really talk to the guys all that much when you're doing the physical workouts on the field, but there's a massive room. When I was there, it was the first year that they had just opened up the new stadium in Indianapolis, and so all of that stuff was held there. There was this room. I don't remember what it was. It had something to do with some sort of train room or something like that. But it was a massive ballroom, and there was position coaches and scouts for every single team, and it was like you were being herded around like cattle. You just stood over there against the wall, and you'd wait for a scout or a coach to come grab you, take you over the table, and they would grill you for like 10 minutes about the mental side of the game, ask you all sorts of crazy questions, ask you about the offense that you ran, and then they'd throw some oddball questions in there to try to, you know, see if you're paying attention. So that was really when you had more to do with the actual teams, the scouts and the coaches and things like that, was during those interviews.
You see all these guys, they're all hanging around Mike Riley, and then what's the most freakish thing you've seen a guy do at a combine? Was it like as far as maybe lifting or the speed or the jumping ability?
Oh, yeah. I mean, every time that you watch those guys, the big D linemen do the bench press with 225 on the bar and they push that thing around like 50 times or whatever it is, that to me is just incredible power. And, you know, it can be hard to watch it, because you realize that those are the guys that are getting paid to, like, come through the line and slam you on the ground. You know, and then as quarterbacks, you're like, oh, man, if I was to get on there, I might be able to get into double digits, maybe. You know, so it's like it's crazy to watch those guys. You know, when you watch the wide receivers and the DBs get in and out of their breaks during those shuttles, just how quick their change of direction is. That's obviously impressive to watch. You know, and so to me, that was like the most freakish, these are some of the best athletes in the world. One of the stupidest things that I saw, which really showed to me how much money that they have, you know, in this league, was you would go around, there was a day where you went around to like, 8 different rooms, and in each room there was 4 or 5 teams that were represented by their team doctors, and you would stand in there, lay on the bed, and they'd poke and prod and do all this kind of stuff. And I'd never missed a snap in practice, let alone a game, when I was in college. I never had any injury to speak of, never had any broken bone, any pulled leg, you know, torn ligament, any pulled hamstrings, none of that stuff. And you know, the doctors, when they would check me out and look at my history, they wouldn't believe it. I probably had 7 or 8 different MRIs and things of that nature ordered, just because they were like, well, we can't let you out of here without doing anything. You know, you're going to have too much free time on your hands. So they're just, you know, I'm looking at it like people that actually need the medical help can't get these tests done sometimes, and you're just ordering it just to waste my time because you don't want me to leave too soon. So there's crazy stuff that goes on there for sure.
Mike Riley joining us. So you go through the combine, and you mentioned no one's giving you advice on things, but like, do you know how you do afterwards other than just, okay, so here, you know, from a quarterbacking perspective anyway, sure, you got to do the 40-yard sprint and everything, so you see where you are in that. But I'm guessing, okay, so you got, I want you to hit this out pattern or this, you know, dig route or whatever it is. Do you know where you stand in the eyes of them? Like, do teams talk to you afterwards? How does it work?
Yes and no. You don't really even know the results of your testing, like with your sprints and things like that. I didn't know what my 40 times or my shuttle times were until I got back to the hotel and I looked at my phone and my agent had texted me my results because he had been watching it on TV, you know, in the hotel across the street. You know, they don't like they don't, at least when I was there, they don't like flash the numbers up on some screen. They don't tell you what you got. The only thing that I knew that I, what I had done was they have the quarterbacks throw a football as hard as you can at like a, there's a guy that's like holding a big pad, like a big blocking dummy pad, and you're just throwing it as hard as you can at him. You get like two or three throws because they have a radar there to see the velocity that you throw the football. And I had thrown it the fastest out of anybody that went through the combine that year. And so he told me the result of it. I don't even remember what it was. But that was the only number that I heard while I was there. Now, the input that you do get, so over the course of my senior year, we had every team had sent scouts through my university to watch practice, to watch games. And generally you meet with these scouts, you know, before they leave town, they just introduce themselves. And some teams send the same scout four or five times. So you get to know some of them pretty good. So there was a guy from San Diego that I knew really well, a guy from Pittsburgh that I knew really well, that had been to my school, you know, probably seven or eight times. And so those guys, I ran into them, you know, just walking down the hallway after my workouts. And so you stop and chat with them, and, you know, they were giving me positive encouragement, like, hey, man, you threw the ball really well. You know, you did as well as we could have hoped or expected you to. Now you just got to wait and see how things shake out in the draft. But, you know, we love how you worked out, and we'll be in touch, you know, those types of things. But if you have some good relationships that you built with some of those scouts, you can get a decent feel for maybe if their team is interested or not. I mean, ultimately, I went to Pittsburgh undrafted right after the draft finished up. And that was the guy that I had talked to right after the combine who called me and let me know that they wanted me to sign a contract and all that kind of stuff. So you can get some information, but sometimes it's hard to come by.
Mike Riley joins us, quarterback for the Edmonton Eskimos. Mike, you know, you've established yourself as a hell of a quarterback in the CFL. But what do you try to tweak this offseason other than foam rolling like your friend Mike, like Ricky Rick?
Well, that's clearly the most important part. there actually, you know, there's been some changes this offseason. You know, that I had talked to Coach Moss about, you know, when the season ended, and I had also got some information from Brock, our GM, and just some contacts because, you know I look like I'm 25, but, you know, I'm in my 30s now. So I used to be able to eat Big Macs and not worry about it. And at this point, I'm like, okay, if I want to play for as long as I think I want to, you know, I got to make sure I'm doing all the off-the-field stuff properly. So I've met with a dietitian, nutritionist, you know, that works professionally at the university in charge of all the sports programs at the University of Washington, and set up a meal plan with them. You know, just to try to make sure I'm staying healthy with that. In terms of the football side of things, you know, our coaches never sleep, even during the off season. So Moss has already gotten me a list of concepts that, you know, we need to go over. Jordan McSimmick, the quarterback coach, sent me a spreadsheet where they had broken down the efficiency of all of our pass, you know, with like 40 different pass concepts, and they had broken down all of them by efficiency, you know, and so we were looking at those and looking at the ones where the number of, you know, the efficiency wasn't as high as we wanted it to be, and then we compiled a cut up of all of those pass concepts on film that we had ran, and right now we're currently in the process of breaking those concepts down. So I have two particular concepts downloaded on my iPad that I started watching a couple nights ago, and I'll finish up my notes on those in another day or two. And when I finish with that, you know, me and Coach Moss and Carson and Jordan will, you know, Skype or FaceTime and go over, you know, their notes and my notes and figure out what we think we can do to improve on the stuff that we didn't do as well as we wanted to. You know, so those are just some of the things that we do during the off season. But, you know, if you want to compete in this league, you can't be taking this time off. You got to be using it to get better.
Mike Riley joins us. Mike, one last one for me anyway. So the offseason is here. There's going to be a lot of changes to your team. A few veteran guys moving on, Adarius Bowman, Odell Willis. So your locker room might be a little bit quieter at times. You know, I think that's safe to say. And that's not a knock on those guys. They added a lot of life to the room.
Yes,
how do you replace that? Like J.C. Sherritt said, Mike Riley's a pretty vocal guy, and you're naturally like that. I don't know if you'd be more vocal, but do you have other guys who can add to that? Because I think that's important in any locker room is to have a few of those guys.
For sure. I mean, you bring up a great point. And those guys will be definitely missed for multiple reasons. As you mentioned, they were characters that, you know, brought, you know, kind of lightness to a lot of situations and made playing the game fun. So I'm going to miss them for that reason. They were great teammates and they were good football players, obviously. But, you know, in this game, these things happen. Teams move on. Teams get younger at certain positions. And, you know, they're both in good situations where they're going to get opportunities to continue to play at a high level. So, you know, I think it worked out the best for everybody in those regards. But when guys like that leave your team, you have to make sure when your locker room is built how ours is, where I believe that we have good quality people and I believe that we have guys that do things the right way and they know how to lead. And when times get tough, which times have gotten tough, you know, I mean, shoot, we came out the other end of a 6-game losing streak last year and still finished with a great season. And that doesn't happen unless you got the right kind of guys in your locker room. So when two or three or four guys that were very important to having that mindset are no longer in your locker room, there's a void that is going to get filled. That void is going to get filled somehow, and you have to make sure as a leader on the team that that void is filled by the proper people. And so we have the right guys, young up-and-coming guys that are capable of filling those voids, and quite frankly, we need them to do that. So that's where it takes guys like myself, JC, Mondo, Sorensen, guys like that, guys that have been on this team for a long time and been in this league for a long time, to have those conversations with the young guys and make sure that they understand how important it is for our locker room, for our team, for them to step up and fill that void. And so, you know, those are all things that happen during the offseason as well and have happened with – I've had those conversations with a few people, and those will continue to happen from now until training camp, because that is just as an important part of your football team as anything else.
Mike, always great to catch up with you. We appreciate it, and we'll see you soon.
Sounds good, guys. Skype me later tonight for our foam roll session. Can't wait.
Soft music, soft lighting.
You might regret giving Strutty your Skype pass. Just letting you know.
Cool. Yeah. Well, I got a throwaway just for those presentations.
So. Thanks, Mike. Appreciate it.
All right, guys. Have a good one.